Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, and am delighted to welcome Elaine Clayton, author of Making Marks. She is a certified Reiki Master Intuitive Reader and creator of the Illuminara Intuitive Journal. Elaine is the author and illustrator of several books for children and illustrator of books by Pulitzer Prize-winning author Jane Smiley and Wicked author Gregory McGuire. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're most welcome. As listeners of Healing From Within well know, the authors and leaders in their various fields of study share their personal stories of how they discovered the inner world of intuition and heart-based soul life. We focus on this show and discuss the implementation of the universal laws of energy into daily practice for enhancing our physical life reality and for manifesting a healthy, purposeful, joyful life experience. In the course of all our shows, we find that self-investigation of our dreams and goals help us to master our emotions and thoughts and release fear and limiting attitudes from past experiences or traumas, allowing us to gain a sense of freedom to empower and enlarge our personal and world consciousness. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Elaine and I, both intuitive Reiki masters, dealing with the world of multidimensional healing theories and practices, will show you a new way to view the marks made absent-mindedly in the margins of perhaps your notebook, or the sketching with your finger in the sand, and share a way to know that freeform drawings are windows into our intuitive selves. Inside every single mark lies visual imagery with the power to open us up to solutions and answers, heal the past, and increase our sense of empathy. Elaine, please tell us of your beginning childhood experiences and the foundation for your sensitive and creative impulses. I have found that many spiritual talents and our life plan actually are often exhibited in our childhood programming.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's true. In my case, the way in which I became conscious of it at a very early age was through dreams and also through drawing, actually. From a really early age, I loved drawing, and I would draw people. I wanted to capture their personality, and it somehow, with just a few lines, even when I was young, it sort of happened. So I think that was happening there. Being the observer and acting on it and being inspired by people was really important to me. And dreams, what would happen with me is, and I'm sure a lot of people relate to this, I would have dreams, very cinematic, very emotive. Often, the themes that we would assume only adults understand or absorb, which isn't true at all. Kids really do get it all, and they may not know what to do with it, but the themes are still there. And so I remember the first time I had one that was so heavy for me that I woke up and my parents were still up. They were having cocktails. This is 1960s, right? Mm. With friends over, and it was the groovy 60s. And I remember getting up and walking out, and my dad said, "Oh, what are you doing up?" And I said, "Well, I had a bad dream." And my parents were in the dream, so I was terrified, frightened. I didn't want to tell him the dream. And he said, "You can tell me the dream, it's okay." And I said, "No, you might get mad at me." And he said, "No, I wouldn't get mad at you. You can't be blamed for a dream." And so I will never forget the feeling mounting in me as I got the courage to spout out this dream. It physically welled up in me, and then I came out with what it was. And he laughed, he laughed a compassionate sort of chuckle for me. And it was wonderful because it showed me that Well, first of all, what he said, you can't be in trouble for your dreams, for what the unconscious reveals to you. But there's humor. It may be so scary, the dream itself, and yet it's actually only just a dream, too, and one, you know, on the other hand. And that really empowered me, and it gave me a chance to develop a relationship with my dad, who at the time, very intuitive family doctor and surgeon, and then later became a psychiatrist. So he became someone who really loved exploring the power of dreams. He never analyzed me at all. He taught me about how to look at dreams the Freudian way, the Jungian way, you know, where you just ask yourself, well, what does it mean to me? What does this dream mean to me personally? And so he gave me the tools for how to look at that. And I think that those two things, dreaming and drawing, were the ways in which I connected really unconsciously and consciously with intuition and creativity.
But I find it very interesting that you just talked about dreams and the fact that your father, with his medical background, was able to help you understand that dreams are an important source of information for children as well as adults. And
mm-hmm.
I just finished recording a show with a gentleman called Kaya, and his show will air in February. And he gave 10 basic rules for taking a look at dreams, and
mm-hmm.
one of them was that in the case of children are able, through sometimes nightmares or fearful dreams, able to release restrictions or fears, even from perhaps a past time or lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if parents understand how to say to their child, well, it's a good thing you had that dream, because
mm-hmm.
now you can see that you woke up, you're okay, you're fine, we can discuss it, and you're not going to be afraid. It's taking something away from you instead
right.
of holding on to it and thinking that it will control or direct you. You can direct the way you look at things in a more positive and loving and happier fashion. So
yes, absolutely. It's that empowering, being able to take it and be activated consciously with it rather than a victim of it.
Now, Elaine, let's go on to something else. You are a Reiki master. How did that healing art find you, or did you find it, and how has it helped you in your creative art, in your creative pursuits?
Well, I think when I became, in my 40s, you know, when you hit that spiritual time when you kind of take your life and allow yourself to make a new meaning out of it, you know, based on yourself and in terms of all you've learned up to that point.
You mean when you start to question who am I, what is it all about, where am I going, and where did I come from? It happened to me around the same time also.
Yeah, and I think I'm sure you and I were always questioning, you know, everything, you know, in the earlier stages too, but there's something really special, something great to look forward to about that decade, or towards, you know, being seven sevens, you know, when you become more mystical, you have a lot of experiences. You get to then learn on a, you know, through everything that you've experienced, and then make something of it. And I think what happened with me is I knew I had been doing children's books for years and raising two sons, and I knew that there was so much more that I wanted to do to heal myself and others and to become more conscious. And I felt that I think Reiki appealed because I had dreams that were, I would consider, instructional dreams about the emotional centers of the body, and I wanted to teach myself, you know, ways in which to work with the emotional centers, or allow someone to teach me, I should say, so that I could, you know, have mentors to participate, you know, with me in the direction I was going. And it just seemed to be a really good choice for me. I felt that I was able to expand in a new way that was exciting. And it's all integrated with the way in which I developed drawing and intuitive readings, too. It became very much about the physical body, as well as, you know, the ways in which the physical body tried to align us and speak to us.
Well, to tell you the truth, I really was not aware that I was in need of any great healing. I was pretty confident and pretty successful at everything I tried and very helpful with everyone I met and very joyful and positive. And it wasn't until I was in my early 40s that I began to question why I was feeling a sort of heaviness in my heart. And it was later that I was told by a healer. I was at the International Spiritual Convention in Toronto, and I had hurt my knee and was told to go to this healing session, and I had never experienced a hands-on healing practice, and I was so surprised when this healer from England leaned over and said to me, "You're a healer and you can do this." And I could feel the heat and the vibration and the release from my knee. And I said, "What is this?" My father was also a doctor, a podiatrist, and very methodical about his work. And I was raised that way in a scientific background to understand and see results. So this was a little hard for me to understand what was happening. But nevertheless, a week later, I was in a Reiki training class at the Association for Research and Enlightenment. And it was during this first Reiki class and the attunement process, because Reiki is the only hands-on healing modality that provides an attunement process, which is actually a very deep meditation provided by a Reiki master teacher who channels universal energy at a really increased level and transfers this to the initiative or the student. And at that time, I just experienced a great feeling of gratitude and knew it was a blessing and a great gift to have discovered the inner source or life force or soul of my being, which I had not really been conscious of or working with or that involved with. I was really very much into the physical side of life until this process came my way. So let's go on back to doodling and drawing and what you call little streamers. Tell us something about that.
Okay, well, and I love listening to your experience with how all these things evolved. Being someone who was just naturally intuitive in a very rational, logical society, a society that uses visual imagery but mostly just to sell things, and being this sensitive kid, visually so aware of space and negative space and characteristics and, everything. But having to almost do it covertly because that was never the subject. It was always look up here, listen, and do, what I'm asking you to do. It was something very different from what my mind was naturally doing. As I developed as, a visual learner, I chose art school, and I really felt that words like doodling had belittled that kind of visual learning. And why do I say that? I mean, there's another way to look at the word doodling besides the put down, but let me just describe. I just felt like the word doodle was a non-word, and it sends out a message that, these little drawings that you do don't mean anything, and we don't even have a real word for it. It just doesn't sound like anything serious. It sounds like goofing off. When I felt like, completely compelled and in a wonderful, almost bliss state doing drawings, and I would watch other people doing these wonderful things and then not thinking they had any value. And so I thought, there should be a different, we should change the language there because this is a profound undertaking, really. Now, the other way to look at it, just to be fair, is you need to be really loose and happy while you make marks in order to get into that zone where you are in a stream of consciousness flow. And if you think you're just doodling allows you to not care too much, and you don't really care about the outcome. So that's a good thing. If we called it something really serious, people might think they get locked up and they don't draw freely because they think they have to take it so seriously. So I do see two sides of the coin, but I feel like a better term, the term I like to use anyway, is stream drawing. So instead of saying doodles, I say, oh, a little streamer, did you know you were in your sort of stream of consciousness flow, making these adorable, wonderful, dynamic marks on the margins of your paper during the interview or during the meeting or whatever? And think of that as something valuable, not something that is just silly or, you know, can't possibly contribute to the world. It actually is a portal into what you said earlier, which I loved, self-investigation. And I think this idea of self-investigation isn't about narcissism. It's about understanding and becoming more conscious so that you can feel compassion for others.
Absolutely.
And empathy for others.
Yeah.
Purposeful, you also mentioned that, purposeful intention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is where it begins. It begins with knowing how you feel. If you can value how you feel, you can probably stop dismissing the way other people feel or stop ignoring the way other people feel. You know, and so I feel like that's a good way to do it when you're privately, not just thinking passively, but you're actually in a state of willful purpose, because drawing is an act of will. You know, it's a dynamic thing. It's like in 2D or 3D. It's not just in the air. It feels very empowering.
And you know, I had a vision of a childhood remembrance when I was in school, when you were talking about doodling. And I remember one of my teachers walking by. I was very creative, very sensitive, very intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I must have been doodling. And she said to me, "Pay attention, we're not doodling now." And
it
was a very negative moment. And it sort of made me think that no one was going to really value that type of work. So I became very much of the mind.
I think everyone relates to that. And what something on the back of the book, which I think you'll find interesting, it was nearly a criminal act to be caught drawing in class. Even in 2013, my son's math teacher got all over him because he had been drawing after he was finished with his math, and she confiscated the drawing, you know. And the cool thing about drawing specifically is that you actually are more focused if you are drawing, streaming, you know, a little streaming drawing on the margins of your paper or whatever during the meeting, because it has been found that people retain 29% more information when they quote-unquote doodle. Teachers do know this. It's very hard. I mean, you taught, I taught.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I was the one, you know, probably saying, "Don't do that right now and do this." It's funny. But it is. But I think we do need to understand that drawing isn't, you know, drawing and other, especially other creative expressions, really do need to be cultivated and integrated into all the learning, you know, modalities. It shouldn't always be separated, this to that, you know.
There is a key. Nothing should be separated. All of our lives are about becoming unified and into the oneness of knowing who we are and what life is all about. That's what we're here, having a physical life, to remember, to come together.
So.
And all these creative art forms, music, drawing,
yes,
language, are here to help us resonate and vibrate at a more beautiful level of our being. Let's go on to intuitive drawing. And what does the word intuition mean to you? It means different things to different people. So what does that mean to you?
Well, first I'll say that the way I experience intuition, talk about integration, there's, to me, one realm where there is empathy, compassion, spirituality, imagination, and intuition, creativity. All of that is connected for me. So, and it's very much about sensing, emoting, which in a way is a knowing that isn't always rational or logical, but yet it's there. And with life experience, you learn, and everyone can relate to, "Oh, I knew I shouldn't do that because I knew something told me not to go there, and I went anyway, and I was right, but I didn't listen to myself." There's this knowing that comes we don't even have time sometimes to think whether or not it's rational or logical, and it doesn't matter. Usually, it's exactly what we thought it would be and felt that it would be. So it's you know, and for me, when I'm making art, when I'm doing healing work, it's all in that one realm, all of those things.
So what is the most important thing you could say to anyone who likes to draw but is afraid to or thinks they aren't any good at it? And there are many people like that, myself probably included.
Well, yeah, because, of course, it wasn't cultivated in us. Well, first of all, most people I talk to, and I've done workshops, you know, on drawing and really this sort of freestyle drawing since I was in my 20s, really, and in schools and libraries. And museums. And I think often I'll ask an adult or even sometimes a kid who's past the age of reason, do you like to draw? Well, I like to draw, but I don't do it because I'm not good at it. So, or I don't like to draw because I'm not good at it. You know, just shut it down completely. This book is really about two things. It's about reclaiming drawing as a natural act that belongs to all humans from the beginning of, you know, our ability to do anything, you know, that we could call meaningful. You know, the cave people were drawing about their experiences. It's just absolutely, it's partly instinctual too, I'm sure. It's something that we should recapture, because you release tension, you become playful, you become introspective, you get a third eye vision of yourself, or a third dimensional view, bird's eye view. It's all good. Drawing is ours. It's innate to us and natural. So, A, it's to say, find a way to draw here that frees you up totally. And why does it free you up? Because with this method, you pretty much close your eyes and use your opposite non-dominant hand. At least at first, because you want to not block yourself. It's the same thing with creative writing. You have to write, and don't stop. Or your inner editor shuts you down and says, this isn't any good. Drawing isn't only about rendering. Drawing doesn't have to even be about what we would call art with a capital A. It's about expression, and it's about reflection. So the second thing this book does is help us realize that the marks we make are valuable to us in that we can reflect on marks we've made to see how and in what way they may hold meaning for us. And that's a wonderful, playful, surprising, often very enlightening and deep experience.
Well, I think making marks will show the readers what they forgot, they knew, and it will recapture their experience of their childhood and excitement again, and it can open their minds and hearts towards empathic intuitive screening, and that's where we find who we really are, in the mind and heart, the essence, our home, and then we can roam through many, many dimensions of life, and that's freedom. That's where we will find freedom. I want to thank you, Elaine Clayton, for showing us how to tap into the hidden depths of creativity and artistic potential, which offer us insight into our personal life challenges and offer opportunities to navigate our conscious and subconscious mind. For those who wish to unleash the power of their own intuitive intelligence through the simple act of making marks, please read Making Marks and go to ElaineClayton.com.
Actually, Illuminara.com, because I'm redoing ElaineClayton.com and there'll eventually be one. Illuminara is where you'll find me on Facebook and my site.
Okay, thank you very much for that.
Yeah, thank you.
And in summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Elaine has shared and reminded us to rediscover the process of a simple childhood and joyful process, and which most of us benefited from as we picked up a pencil or crayon or a piece of chalk and we let our inner mood, the mood of our soul and our emotions, express itself from within without limitations due to our social mores or childhood patterns. Expressing ourselves this way leads us to freely know the personal power of our instinctive and intuitive nature as spiritual beings having a physical life. As in words or music or dance, the movement of our drawings help us understand our daily experiences and past memories, always helping us to open our minds and hearts and to receive new ways to explore this wonderful life. Elaine writes, "In my practice as an artist and as an intuitive reader, it is my mission to help heal the person while sharing the realization that within each of us is the power to heal and be enlightened. Healing is an enlightened process. Ever since I began doing gesture drawing workshops at schools, in libraries, and at museums 20 years ago, I realized how this artful exercise can increase mindfulness and empathy in learners. As an artist, intuitive reader, and a former teacher, it is an exercise that is most rewarding that I do with a group and helps to develop emotional intelligence, which enriches a person's experience in life. It is part of developing well as an individual, especially in terms of living an intuitive life. We don't learn well when we're afraid or uncomfortable, and so much constructive cooperation is dashed when school children are taught to switch off their personal feelings and their capacity to empathize with others. Competition and fear do not always bring out the best in us, so we need to reinforce love and respect in order to coexist. Love, feeling genuine appreciation and affection for another person, and respect to value another person and hold them in high regard are present when we take time to get in touch with our emotions and understand others also have feelings and deserve acknowledgement." I wholeheartedly agree with all of that. Elaine and I would ask you to bring out that joy in making your mark, whether on paper or in the way you interact and participate with others in the joy of life, drawing on that intuitive, truthful power of your inner being. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to read and listen to the visionaries, healers, and forward thinkers of our times, bring you new methods to increase your awareness of the important values for living a courageous life. Also go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you.